Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Dan Graziano, and ESPN NFL Insider, of course, with us. Why not, Dan?
What's up, DJ?
Hi, guys.
What's up, Danny?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
Smoke's fired out of the air from the wildfires. Yeah. And
you're pumped this morning, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Dan's ready to go.
I'm ready to go. Why wouldn't I be?
Okay.
Why does everybody seem surprised?
I like it. I like the adrenaline rush. Let's go.
What do we got? What are we talking about?
You want to do
Let's go, Max. I feel like we're wasting time.
Let's go, Max.
Let's do it.
Hot news or not news?
I'm in.
Here we go. Hot news or not news is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Dan Graziano, Stephon Diggs showed up, but didn't show up to minicamp. Hot news or not news?
This is hot news. Stephon Diggs is upset. About what? We're not exactly sure. But there is some issue between him and the team. You could tell from Sean McDermott's comments and Josh Allen's comments yesterday that there's something they have to work through. There's some optimism in Buffalo that they will be able to work through it. And frankly, there aren't a lot of other solutions. They can't really trade him based on his contract. But hot news that there are issues between a star receiver, Stephon Diggs, and the Bills.
Well, you're speaking of receiver. You know, yes. I speak wide receiver, Dan, very well. I'm fluent in every area.
You wrote
area.
Some of the dictionary, in
he
fact.
Yes,
that is correct. This smells like bad communication to me, Dan.
Yeah.
The end of last season, things didn't go so well with implementing him into the offense with Ken Dorsey. So, you know, it was one of those deals where it's like, we love you, man. It's my fault. It's my fault, Stephon. We're gonna change. We know we got to get you the football. We know we got to do these sort of things. You're the guy. We're gonna bring in some help to lift the coverage. All of those things. He get back this offseason. He's like, well, wait a minute, man. Y'all told me in January you were gonna do this, 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 and this. But here we are doing the same things. I don't want to deal with this. I dealt with this in Minnesota. Y'all better fix this. That's what he's saying. I can almost guarantee you that without knowing, because again, I do speak wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. So I'm with you both. I mean, the actual quote that Josh Allen said, internally, we're working on some things, not football related. Steph, he's my guy. I blanking love him. He's a brother of mine. This does not work what we're doing here without him.
Mm.
That's
hot news.
Hot news.
Quarterback's got
his quarterback
back.
Talks about your wide receiver that way.
Real quick before you hot move news. On, Max. Go. Real quick before you move on, Dan.
Yeah.
Mini camp, correct?
Yeah.
So he's going to be fined.
Yes.
A significant amount of money, yes. Because it's mini camp.
It's mandatory.
Mandatory.
And if those fines don't always help, you know, relationships between players and teams.
See what he's doing, the old Columbo. He's going to be like, right when we think we're going to move on, he's going to say, one more thing.
One more
he's
thing.
Well, because minicamp, I was thinking about that money, that's all.
Yeah.
This is scorching hot news. Are we kidding? Every year they're supposed to win the Super Bowl. This is one of the best tandems you ever want to see. They're incredible together. The receivers got paid. It's not about the money, and he's not in minicamp. Oh. DeAndre Hopkins will visit the Patriots. Hot news or not news, Dan Graziano?
Well, I think it's hot news. I mean, I think he would be a big addition for them at a position where, frankly, they need some help. They need some star power. They need somebody like him that can be relied upon to produce. I mean, they have a lot of question marks at that wide receiver position. So I think it's hot news, especially if they sign him.
Damn you, Dan. It's hot news, and you are one of the best investigative reporter types that we have at ESPN and in sports in general, but you bury the lead. You know how?
Oh.
Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Together again.
Yeah.
After the messy divorce in Houston.
That's an
issue. You damn right it's hot news.
Yeah.
This tells me that Bill Belichick really needs a wide receiver to the point that he is now going to bring in a guy who torched Bill O'Brien when he left the building in Houston. Right, Dan?
Yeah.
This is going to be something to watch.
There have to be some smoothing over that has to happen if they are to pull this off.
I don't think that's news at all because I don't see D-Hop going to the Pats.
Where's he
going to
go?
I mean,
Tennessee?
You keep looking at, I'd rather go to Tennessee than go with the Pats.
Yeah.
And then deal back with Bill O'Brien and then also look at Mac Jones.
I'll tell
but
you
why,
what. Bill
why
O'Brien in Houston was the GM and the head coach. As a head coach, he was pretty good to DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins had a lot of production. As the GM, he didn't want to pay him, and he traded him, and I think that's where the bad blood was. So can Hopkins put that aside and play for him? We'll see.
Traded him without consulting his quarterback, by the way, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And traded him.
He got fired for all of it. Yeah.
And got and a terrible return.
Him, think about it. He traded him for a bag of nickels, some potato chips, and Skittles.
Yeah, everyone knows you trade an elite wideout in his prime that has great chemistry with an elite quarterback for a running back. That always goes really well. This is hot news, but you know what I think the hottest news about it is? That his market isn't that hot. Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins' market is limited. I don't know what it is. When am I watching Arizona? On Red Zone, if they're in the Red Zone. So I don't know. But he looks pretty good to me whenever I've seen him recently. I think he still looks pretty good, but apparently the league doesn't. Damn. I'd love him on the Giants.
Cleveland?
Yeah, I think there has been some interest from Cleveland, but he's not currently scheduled to visit them, and he visited Tennessee, and he's visiting New England. So we have to list them as the two most interested teams since he's actually, you know, been in their buildings or going to be in their buildings.
Odell Beckham Jr. is on the practice field. Hot news or not news, Dan?
I think it's hot news because this guy's coming off major injury, didn't play last year, and I think the fact that he's able to be out there practicing in June is very encouraging for his prospects and therefore Lamar Jackson's.
Hot news, everything Dan just said. I'll back it right up 100%.
Same for me.
Exactly. Odell Beckham Jr. and Lamar Jackson. We asked this on This Just In yesterday, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN. Handsome host. Most intriguing, I asked Teddy Bruschi, new quarterback-receiver combination, a tandem. And he mentioned Rodgers and Wilson, and I get it. But to me, intriguing is this. What does Odell Beckham have left? Can he stay healthy? That's number one. Is he most of the guy who's on his way to winning MVP of the Super Bowl? And then two is, if he is that, what can Lamar Jackson be with a receiver like that? I can't wait to see this. Texans head coach D'Amico Ryan says there will be an open quarterback competition going into training camp. Hot news or not news?
It's not news because that's what they always say in this situation. Fact is, if C.J. Stroud can handle it, he's going to be the guy.
Exactly.
Not news. I hate to do this again, Dan, but I echo everything you just said.
I mean, come on.
When you draft a guy, no matter what the quarterback situation or position situation, it's always – yeah, it's going to be a competition, too. It's not a competition. It won't be a competition as they enter into the regular season. C.J. Stroud will probably most likely be the starter, depending on how they feel about where the team is in terms of protecting their quarterback.
Well, kid, the latter part is exactly the part, right? Like, you know, give a guy enough time to actually get acclimated to the league instead of throwing him to the Wolves right away. But if C.J. Stroud is ready to go, then he'll go.
Yeah, this is actually – Davis Mills in this situation is a little dangerous because he's just good enough to delay a guy who's still learning from playing, but you want the young guy to play. So, no, I don't believe it's an actual – look, it may be a competition, but the winner of the competition may not actually be the guy who starts. Let's put it that way early on. Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson pledged to be at training camp whether or not he's got a new deal. Hot news or not news, Dan Graziano?
I mean, I'll defer to the guy that speaks wide receiver, but to me this is like room temperature news, right? I would lean toward not news because I don't think there's any chance the Vikings aren't going to sign Justin Jefferson. I think you and I could do the deal right now. It's obvious what it's going to be, and I'm sure Justin Jefferson knows that too, so I don't think there's an issue here.
Not news at all. We're waiting on a couple guys, guy like T. Higgins. What are they going to do with him? So I don't know what it was that they picked up the fifth-year option. What is it, 20-something million? So I'm okay. I'm good. I know I'm protected.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a distraction. But there's a couple guys that they're working on new deals with. Let's see where they come in at.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. And I'm good, man. I'm just going to stand on the sidelines for a couple weeks.
Yeah, not news. I mean, you have to have security to show up to training camp without a deal just to know everything's going to be fine. I'll be fine.
He'll be all right.
Not news. And he's a great receiver, and he's entering his prime. And
everybody knows what time it is.
Everyone knows what time it is, exactly. Saquon Barkley isn't happy about how his contract negotiations have played out. Hot news or not news, Dan Graziano?
It's hot news because it's an unresolved issue for the Giants. Like, they have to figure out how they can keep this guy happy. Are they going to continue to play hardball and say, look, we're good with you playing on a franchise tag. If you want to sit out, that's your business. We'll figure something else out. But I don't think that's the right way to go vis-a-vis their locker room, vis-a-vis their team ownership. I think they have to get something figured out with this guy.
Again, hot news following Dan, everything he said and then some. You got to figure it out with Saquon Barkley. He is the key to your offense. Don't get delusional and think Daniel Jones is the reason that you got to the playoffs and had a playoff win. Don't get delusional at all. because Saquon Barkley was the main reason your offense was successful. It was not Daniel Jones. So if you alienate him, a well-liked guy within that locker room, you're getting ready to alienate this entire team, both on the defensive side and the offensive side. And I believe some people on the coaching staff will feel the same way.
So, Key, I agree with what you said full-heartedly. Dan, I will ask you, aren't they trying to franchise tag the wrong guy? Shouldn't they have franchise tagged Daniel Jones?
Yes, but if they had franchised Daniel Jones, Saquon would have been a free agent. You can only franchise one guy. So they wouldn't. So signing Jones and franchising Saquon was the way to keep both.
So Saquon Barkley has done everything they've asked. He doesn't run between the tackles. He runs between the tackles. He doesn't block and protect. Yes, he does. Now he does. He does everything. Plus, he catches passes, which he's always done. Mm-hmm. But more than that, and the reason they got to pay him, he's not being unreasonable. And as a franchise, you cannot send the signal that, hey, we're going to ask you to run through all the brick walls, and then when you do, you're never going to get rewarded. They're going to have to come to a compromise. I'll also say this. There is no one in the NFL better at turning nothing into something. He can turn, there's no gain here, this is a tackle for a loss, into, oh my God, he broke off 40 yards. You got to pay this guy. It doesn't have to pay him at the top of the market, but he has some leverage here. It's not like he has none. All right. That's Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen.
Way to bring the energy, Dan.
That's right.
I see you.
Hot news.
A Key not only speaks receiver fluently and as a first language, but actually contributed much to the actual dictionary of receiver. So he's going to interpret some stuff and explain what's really going on in Buffalo with Stephon Diggs, KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. You can check us out on ESPN2 until 8 a.m., on ESPNU until 10 a.m. So what's going on in Buffalo? The Buffalo Bills and Stephon Diggs' agent, Adisa Bakari, who spoke with ESPN's Adam Schefter, said that Diggs was in the building Monday and was present Tuesday morning. Bakari said that Diggs took his physical, met with McDermott and general manager Brandon Bean over the past 2 days, and, quote, will be there for the entirety of minicamp, end quote. Per the Bills, Diggs left the facility before Tuesday's practice. He was not present for any portion of the team's practice on the outdoor field at the facility. But this is really what put this on my radar, like, oh, wait a minute. Because a lot of times, you know, people have worked stuff out behind. You don't know what the story is. Maybe he had, you know, whatever. Maybe the team is aware and it's okay. But when Sean McDermott, the Bills head coach, said, you're going to hear the question and listen to this response, that's when I was like, huh? Wait a minute. Listen to this.
Steph is not here. Everybody else is here at the current time.
How concerned are you about that?
Oh, very concerned. Yeah, very concerned. I'm not going to get into – and listen, I respect everyone's questions and what they want to know about our team. Right now, I'm not going to get into that anymore. So we'll talk about practice. Happy to do that. Happy to answer those questions, and we'll move forward from there.
Ooh, key. Really, very concerned,
said
Coach. How are
you going to say very concerned, but now we're not going to talk about it? That's addressed. Now we're moving on.
What do you think, Key?
Well, it's not money because he's one of the highest paid receivers. He just did a deal, I don't know, last year. So that's not the issue. I think there's some communication issues, that there's some communication breakdown. In Stephon Diggs, whenever you go talk to the coach and the general manager, it's most likely you are not on the same page with the offensive coordinator and you feel a certain way about the game situation, game plans, what the playbook looked like, what they told you when the season was over, you know, what they told you during the offseason. And then you come back and you look up stuff, or you have a certain conversation with guys and they're talking off both sides of their mouth, it becomes a bit of an issue. I've seen it. I've dealt with it as a person in the NFL, but I've also seen it. And this is where players say, you know what, man, never mind. I don't feel like dealing with y'all right now, because y'all sitting up here making stuff up and saying stuff that's not true, and you're not living to your word. That's the way I see it. Now, if there's some other stuff that comes out later on, then that's different. As it stands right now, though, there's some major communication breakdown between Stephon Diggs in the offensive side of football.
Key, what about the fact – I just want to follow up one thing. What about the fact that Coach admits publicly he's very concerned? That, like, a lot of times this stuff will go on, but, you know, well, you know, he won't – we're focusing on who's here, or you know, we're dealing with that in-house, right? Why would he say he's very concerned publicly unless he's trying to put pressure on Diggs?
Because Stephon Diggs probably went ham on him. Probably, you know, went in there and really voiced his opinion on how he feel about the situation. Like, whatever the situation is, he went in and he told them, man, y'all blah, 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 blah. You know, and they, oh, well, we're going to work with you. We really love you. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. This is the same thing they said in Minnesota. This is the same thing y'all did in Minnesota. It's the same thing that went on there. I ain't going for it. And they like, oh, okay. So sometimes they don't know how to handle certain situations as coaches. So you've got to have somebody. Maybe there's a Von Miller that comes along now. You'll see in a day or so, Von Miller and him in a picture when he's back at minicamp standing next to each other, giving him a hug. You'll see that. That'll start to surface at some point in time because they don't know how to handle this.
Key,
they don't know how to handle this.
Key, go back to the divisional game where they got beat up by the Bengals. 27-10.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a viral video where literally Diggs is going at Josh Allen
toward
on
the
sideline.
Yep.
On the sideline. And there were reports that he darted out of the locker room after the game. And one of his teammates had to go out and address him in the hallway and literally try to bring him back into the locker room. So, like, obviously there's something there between Allen and Diggs and how head coach is going to handle that. But, like, that was a defining moment. That was like, that seems like that's unsolved.
Yes, Jay, I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, it's certainly unsolved. That's why I said before.
Yeah.
Whatever they communicated with him at the conclusion of the season, they made some sort of promise, communication, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do better. And he gets there. And he's taking a look, and he's seeing or whatever, and it's not going that way.
Say they gave him the – he's like, you're not giving me the okey-doke.
The okey-doke.
Yes.
Look, this is right here. I'm going right. You go right, but he really went left. That's just – it's the okey-doke.
It's the okey-doke. So what does Josh Allen have to say about all this? Here's Josh Allen on Stephon Diggs.
Oh, I know internally we're working on some things, not football-related, but, you know, Steph, he's my guy. Excuse my – love him. He's a brother of mine. You know, this does not work, what we're doing here, without him. You know, we wish he was in here today and was out there on the field with us, and that's not the case, but I've got his back no matter what.
Mm-hmm. What does that tell you, Key?
Well, he's doing some cleanup. That's what it tells me. It means Josh Allen is doing some cleanup. He wants to extend an olive branch to Stephon Diggs and kind of let him know, we good. This won't work without you. I need you. So he extended a little bit of olive branch to him so that they could try to get on the same page. But when guys are ticked off, it's hard to get them back. They won't trust you. And in that playoff game, as Jay mentioned, Stephon Diggs is going ham because Josh Allen is doing stuff with the football. Maybe Stephon Diggs was open and he's throwing the ball to somebody else and he's forcing it. This happens. This is part of it. I'm just shocked that it's still going on right now in a mini camp. I'm shocked at that.
We showed just now on ESPN2 a graphic that shows you Josh Allen's career numbers before Diggs and since Diggs. Big difference. Of course, look, part of that is his natural development, and he would have gotten better probably even without Diggs, but not like this. I mean, just like with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and the fact that they never did this with Lamar, if you go get a developing quarterback with a lot of raw talent and piece by piece you build around him, and that is the finishing touch, you bring in an elite receiver. So what I like about what I'm hearing from Josh Allen, Key, is he's no fool. You know, he's not so arrogant.
No.
Sometimes these quarterbacks can get so arrogant, they feel like, oh, I don't really need – he realizes, no, I need this guy.
Also, the pressure point, Key, just like we talked about at the beginning of the show in the 6 o'clock hour, we started off our whole show with the conversation, who needs an NBA championship the most? Mm. And it's easy for that to transition right into who needs the Super Bowl the most. And you cannot tell me that every single year when we're talking about Josh Allen as the favorite odds to win the MVP, like that's a leverage point for a guy like Diggs. Oh, you need it? We need it? We're there? You need me? I need something in return.
Yeah,
yes.
But it's more Stephon Diggs, who I know very, very well. It's not about the touches and the numbers, right? So let's stop that before that even gets started out there in the public world. It's about being able to participate to help your team win without standing around in important games being a cardboard cutout.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, Key?
Yeah. That means a cardboard cutout. You know how you go in the store and the guy's standing there and all he is a cutout and you can take a picture with him?
Question, Key. Is he okay? A lot of times I'll hear from star receivers who get bad press, right?
Well, I was going to get into that, but we ain't got no time. We could get
all right, coming up, I have a question to ask you about that. I have a question that leads from what you just said. And also, we got to get into what's next for the Miami Heat. KJM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by Brian Windhorst himself, ESPN NBA insider, host of Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective Podcast.
You can follow him at
Windhorst ESPN. Morning, Brian.
Good morning, guys.
So we've been talking about it a lot this morning. Now that Nikola Jokic has won his championship, and I think that retroactively kind of justifies the regular season MVPs, like it shoots him up the all-time list, that championship, because now you look at what he's done in the regular season, at least I do differently. Who most needs to win the title now in the NBA, you think, Wendy?
That's a really good one. I haven't even gotten to that in my head. You know,
I'm going to give you some options.
I think that there's going to be – obviously, you've got some pressure in Phoenix for because of what they paid for Kevin Durant. And look, they were there. They were there a couple of years ago, and they made the finals. And Devin Booker is, in my view, right there as one of the uber elite players in the league. You know, he missed some time this year with injury. He was a first-team All-NBA player last year. He would have been arguably a first-team All-NBA player this year. He certainly was one of the best players in the playoffs over the first two rounds. So considering the skin they have in the game and everything they traded, I think the Suns are under some measure of pressure, the fact that they fired a pretty successful head coach, in Monty Williams, they're under some level of pressure to make a serious run at it next year.
Wendy, I will say with the level of dysfunction, it feels like with everything happening with Jay Crowder, with what happened with Robert Sarver, then Matt Ishbia coming in, with obviously them exiting on Monty Williams, with bringing in KD, him dealing with a little bit of injury, coming off injury. For them to be in that series, it does feel like out of all the teams that competed against Denver, Phoenix had the best shot, and it didn't have all the pieces. They didn't even have CP3 healthy. So having the right pieces, it feels like the upside is there for Phoenix moving into next year. But going to the team that played against Denver in the NBA Finals, what jersey do we think Heat fans will be buying this summer? Will that be a Dame jersey? Will that be a Bradley Beal? Who do you see as the best fit to play with Jimmy Butler and Bam for Pat Riley?
Yeah, I don't get the vibe that Dame Lillard is going to be available. We'll see what happens after next week and after the free agent season, where I think the Blazers have some big plans. I know that everybody has put his name out front because of the way he, what he said at the end of the season. But in my conversations, I'm getting the impression that Dame is still very committed there, and that the Blazers' moves and what they're trying to do are there to support Dame. So I would not put Dame on the front of the trade situation right now. I mean, again, let's pay attention to what I said right now. As for Beal, I think it's a little bit different. Michael Winger, the new team president, basically came out and put it on the table last week when he said that ownership has given him clearance to do a full rebuild, and he hasn't made up his mind yet. But I've known Michael Winger for 18 years. He doesn't say something like that unless he's being very, very cautious. And so I don't think it's a guarantee that the Wizards will trade Bradley Beal. I just think over the last 3 or 4 years when we've heard Bradley Beal rumors, I don't think they've ever been super legitimate. But I do think right now, before the draft, if they're going to do it, it would be now. And I think that the Heat would be at the front of it. And I'm going to tell you, if Bradley Beal gets traded between now and next Thursday, I think people are going to be very surprised at the price and how potentially low it's going to be because his contract is not attractive. And especially going forward, what it would mean to have a $50 million player on your team that may not be, a first or second All-NBA type player. And that's if. I'm not saying they're going to, but if they do it, and also the thing is this, Bradley Beal controls any trade. One of the most surprising things that happened last summer, although it was low-key, was that when the Wizards gave Beal the Supermax extension, the $250 million extension, which I did not think was a no-brainer, to be honest with you. It was a no-brainer if they wanted to keep him. They gave him a no-trade clause. I mean, this is something that like Kobe Bryant had, And when you have a no-trade clause, people think, oh, well, that means that you won't be traded to a place you don't want to go. Yes, of course that's what it means. But it's more than that. It also means that you control what you get traded for. You don't want to go to a team like, if Donovan Mitchell had his choice in a no-trade clause, I don't think he would have had the Cavs give up all that stuff for him. If Kevin Durant had a no-trade clause, I don't think he would have let the Suns give up all those things for him. Why hurt your team's ability to improve around you later? So if that happens, I think that'll be a surprise to the league.
Wendy, if this does happen, though, is Bradley Beal the hottest thing on the trade market? Will he be the hottest thing on the trade market? And what will the assets look like in return?
Well, that's the thing. I think if we live in a world where last summer Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell went for these Kings ransoms, and Bradley Beal is a guy who has been very people love the idea of him being traded. The Wizards have never done it. You could argue that Beal is, you know, at least on those guys' level, maybe a step ahead. And I suspect if he gets traded, it would be for a fraction of that. And so that's why you look at a team like the Miami Heat, who you may look at and say, well, they don't have stuff coming out of their ears to trade. I would say generally not compared to what the Suns gave up for Durant, not compared to what the Cavs gave up for Mitchell. But if they find the right deal, I think that they could. I think trading for Dame Lillard is going to cost potentially a lot more, believe it or not, than it would be to trade for Bradley Beal because of, you know, he's played 90 games the last 2 years total. And because that contract, and whoever trades for Bradley Beal, if that happens, I can't say if enough, inherits the same no trade clause. He would, you know, if you then wanted to move on from him in a year or two, you'd have the same problem. So I think, you know, that's definitely one thing to look at. As far as elsewhere in the league, there's been some feel out there that the Pelicans want to move up in this draft. They have the 14th pick right now, and that they may want to move up in this draft. And I think it would be premature to say that they've made any offers of players. I don't want to go that far. But obviously, you don't have to be a next-level genius to realize that if they want to move way up in the draft, you're looking at potentially making Zion Williamson available. That would be a fascinating decision. Mm. But if the Pelicans are serious about moving up, I think it must be something that they're considering.
Mm. Wendy, this is the part of the show where we dedicate a conversation, and Jay hates this, around the Lakers. What are the Lakers going to do? What are the Lakers going to do? Are we going to try and chase CP3 if he's available? Are we going to do Kyrie? Is there James Harden in our future? What are we doing?
You know, I think the Lakers are going to have, even if they wanted to go all in on cap space, which is, you know, say goodbye to, you know, some of the guys that they acquired last year, particularly Rui Hachimura. That's the guy who, if you said goodbye to, would probably bite the most. They're not going to be able to get to the money that you would need to get to a Harden or a Kyrie unless those guys were really willing to take a pretty big pay reduction. The Lakers could maybe get to $34, $35 million in space. And that's, again, with hollowing out their team a little bit. They would be able to keep Austin Reeves in that structure. I don't think that's feasible to get Kyrie or Harden. I do think it's feasible if you're interested in Fred VanVleet, which I think there's going to be some interest in. And I think the Lakers' challenge position is point guard. That's, you know, because I think Russell is a good player, but I don't know if he's a player that you're going to dedicate a bunch of money to if you're chasing a championship.
See you later, D'Angelo Russell.
The thing about it is a lot of teams want Fred VanVleet. So I don't know. I will point out, though, Fred VanVleet recently switched agents and hired Rich Paul.
Yep.
So, you know, when you have that connection, you have the Lakers, it's always interesting. I do think you're asking what I think the Lakers are going to do. I think the Lakers' preference is to re-sign Rui Hachimura, is to hold on to potentially to Malik Beasley, not because Beasley sets the league on fire, but because he can be used as part of a trade later on. Re-sign Austin Reeves, and then look for a way to try to upgrade at the point guard position, or at least shift at the point guard position. And that's going to be hard. I'm not going to tell you that that's why so many people have connected Chris Paul there, because they may need a point guard and may not be willing to pay Russell what he's going to prefer on the open market.
Mm. Wendy, we have about 45 seconds here, but I want to go back to what you said about the Pelicans potentially utilizing Zion Williamson, maybe in a trade, if that's with Charlotte, because you hear this love infatuation they have with Scoot Henderson, which Scoot is very talented. I just want to make sure that's Zion Williamson they're giving up. Like, they're open for that, you think?
Let's put it this way, Jay. I don't want to say right now that they're going to do it, but it is not a secret that the Pelicans want to move high up in this draft. Look at the roster and tell me how they're going to do that without considering trading Zion.
Well, the question is, too, Wendy, does Zion want to be there? Because you keep hearing all these different reports inside about, you know, his attitude there sometimes and weight gain and all these other things. Like, that's a real thing, Key. Like, people are talking about that. Right, Wendy?
Well, Zion signed an extension with them last summer that hasn't even kicked in yet. So I mean, you know, I'm not going to try to get into his head, but, you know, he did sign the deal to stay there. And the thing I'll say is that this is not just a simple, you know, oh, do this. They were in second place in the Western Conference last year before Zion got hurt. But Wendy, before Zion got hurt has become a theme.
Yeah, Wendy, before we let you go, we're very heavy, so quickly. Do you have any sense of what Zion fetches on the market if they do indeed decide to move him?
I got to tell you, I don't think his value is die high right now. But he has a contract that protects the Pelicans or whatever team from further injury. It's not fully guaranteed. But obviously his value in January is a lot higher than it would be now after another injury plague season.
That is Brian Windhorst. We could just keep going on and on with Wendy. Thank you, Wendy.
All right, Wendy.
Take care.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Key, we were talking a little earlier in the show, a couple segments ago, before we had Wendy on.
Yes.
Gave us a lot of great information about Stephon Diggs, that situation. And you were talking, since you speak receiver, and in fact contributed mightily to the dictionary, the receiver dictionary, you were talking about what might be going on behind the scenes, since it's not a money thing, right? And I had a question for you at that point, where there's some receivers where it's not simply, oh, I'm not getting my touches, right? There's more to it than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were going to go some more. But he gets his touches. It's not about catching a football. It's about winning and contributing when you are trying to win a game. The way we think, so that you know, Jay and Max, we depend on 11 people to do their job. And you say, well, wait a minute, it's only 11 out on the field. Who's it? The offensive coordinator, the quarterback, and everybody else. We depend on them to do their job for us to do our job when we are trying to help our team win. If we winning and we blocking and we taking satisfaction in doing that and we winning games and I got 2-3 touches, we good. We're good. But if you got other options and you're trying to get the football to them, and we're losing to Cincinnati in the playoffs at home because I'm not getting touches, you're not putting him in position to beat my man or beat double coverage, and you're not utilizing me a certain way, we're going to have a problem with that. That's just the way it is. But what happens in the world that we live in is that people see Stephon Diggs not at minicamp or having conversations with the coaching staff and the general manager and Brandon Beam, and they automatically assume it's about him getting the football. And
he's being selfish, he's being greedy.
All that money, mm-hmm. Selfish, greedy, and that's not true. That's not true at all.
So I hear a lot of. Go ahead.
How do you ensure that, Key? I'm saying, how do you ensure that with the coaching staff? How do you ensure that with the quarterback that you're just not hearing word salad again? That it's actually confirmed that these things are actually going to change moving forward.
Well,
you're just taking people's word for it at the end of the day, correct?
Yeah, but you got to take their word for it until such due time that it happens, right? I've been in situations personally where all week long to satisfy me from going off on their ass, they made sure I got the football doing practice. Oh, they're going to do this, do that, do this. It's playing games is what we call it. Then when we get into the game, all of a sudden they're calling the different plays and not putting me in a position to help me and to help them into such due time that they really, really desperately need you. And it's out of control. So they want you to be super, you know what, Jay. And that creates hostility and friction all the time. It just does. Stephon Diggs is one of the best receivers
in his generation in the National Football League. He shouldn't be going through this. He shouldn't be going through this. That's why I say they don't know how to handle him. They don't know how to talk to him, get him to understand certain things. So they think playing games with him is going to make it better. No, it's going to make it worse.
So can I try to understand? Let me just talk it through, and you tell me if I got this more or less right, okay? So we can put the whole thing together, Key. Mm-hmm. So he got paid. It's not about money.
Nope.
He shows up, and he notices, he senses they're giving him the okey-doke. What he's upset about is not, hey, I need to see the ball more. It's more like, look, if I'm not seeing the ball more, then we need to be winning. It needs to be, if you're using me and you're saying I'm drawing attention or whatever it is, then that's fine as long as we're winning. But when we're losing in the playoffs and I'm not seeing the ball enough, something's got to change. Then he gets there the next year and he can sense certain things and he sees certain things that signal to him, man, they're giving me the okey-doke. They're not really going to change anything.
Yeah,
and that's why he leaves.
In the conversations with the offensive coordinators, you know, offensive coordinators think they're brilliant and smart. You know, and they just do. They talk to you a certain way. They're smarter than you because I'm the offensive coordinator. I'm calling the plays. If you think about Stephon Diggs over the last 3 years, he got 338 receptions over the last 3 years in a combination between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. 338 completions. So it's not about the football. Kirk Cousins and Jefferson, 318. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, 306. So he's getting the football. But when you're not getting me the ball at a time that I can help my team win, and you're playing games, or you're looking at other people, or you're drawing stuff up, and you're not making me the primary dude, but you're paying me like the primary guy, it's problematic. Because again, Jay, I am not a photo op. I don't want to be standing around like a damn cardboard cutout.
So, Key, remember when we talked about, you know, how great of a coach Brian Daboll is, and obviously him coming over from Buffalo, and there was going to be challenges for Buffalo's offense, and then obviously Ken Dorsey. Like, how much of this is centered around Ken Dorsey? Because I keep hearing us talk about Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, but Ken Dorsey in particular.
Daboll's gone.
A lot of it, just based on my experience, it has a lot to do with offensive coordinators. And Ken Dorsey's a young offensive coordinator who's an ex-quarterback who probably thinks he has all the answers. So Stephon Diggs, if you notice, it was only two people in the room per the report. Yep. Brandon being a good friend of mine, general manager, and Coach McDermott. There was no offensive coordinator there.
Yep.
Because Stephon probably went to him and was like, man, I can't deal with this
there
dude.
It is.
Ain't all wrong with
there
this
it
dude.
Is.
We're always looking to see when an offensive coordinator who's also the play caller leaves, what's going to happen. Daboll went to the Giants. Bam, they got a playoff win from out of nowhere. And there's a problem now in Buffalo in his absence. That Jay, I think you hit it right on the head.
Man, they better get that dude in the camp and stop playing games.
Huh? Yeah. Does Nikola Jokic's path to the title affect how we will view him historically? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.